Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
We have a very, very exciting Evan and Tiki, because in 24 hours, MLB free agency begins. So I asked everyone around here, make your plan, your Mets plan, your Yankees plan. And later on in the show, we will unveil our off-season plans on the eve of MLB free agency. But as we sit on the eve of MLB free agency, we're also in the day after effects of the NFL trade deadline. And before we get to the Giants and the fight that is ensuing between Giant fans on who sucks more at their job, Ryan Dable or Joe Shane, I do want to tell you, with 24 hours now, I have some new thoughts as a Jet fan. And I would like to spread them to you, Tiki.
Go ahead, let's hear them.
You can slap me on the back of the head or say, that's smart.
Are these not celebratory, happy thoughts?
Are they
still agitated, aggrieved thoughts?
No. It's opportunistic thoughts. I'm at right now is the Jets did what they did. Obviously, they received an offer for Sauce Gardner they could not say no to. I understand why they made the trade. I think they should have made the trade. Once you do that, you get a first-round pick for Quinnen Williams. You have to make that trade. So I am in the acceptance part of what the Jets did. I am not celebrating. I'm not saying, yay, this is glorious. I heard BT, I was talking with between shows, and BT said this is the happiest he's been since Rodgers ran through the tunnel. I don't share that view. I understand it. He's an optimistic guy. He sees the potential. I just don't share that belief. It is just still sad that the Jets were forced to do this. But now I've got a clear head, and I have some thoughts.
Yes, let's hear it.
The veteran quarterback. Let me start there. The New York Jets are now positioned, if they want, if a veteran star quarterback becomes available for a variety of reasons. Either they demand a trade, either the team doesn't want to pay them, either the team says, you know what, we've hit a wall, let's hit the reset button. The New York Jets are now primed to acquire any top-level quarterback that becomes available.
Right.
And there are a few names that just jump out at me I'd like to throw out there.
You're talking now free agency and maybe even the draft.
I'm talking about the trade market. Not even talking about, because I don't think great quarterbacks ever really get to free agency.
So you want to do that now?
No. I'm talking about opportunities, whether it's this offseason or next offseason.
That's what I mean, like in the offseason.
Yeah, because they're loaded with draft picks. And when you're loaded with draft picks, there's a couple of ways you can go with it. Right. A, you can use them. B, you can package them together to move up for the quarterback you love. And what I'm at least thinking about, I'm just like having an open conversation.
Right, I hear you.
Is there are certain veteran elite level quarterbacks or borderline elite level quarterbacks that I can paint a scenario where they become available. And I'm telling you that the New York Jets are better equipped to acquire them than anybody else. Let's get to the obvious one. Mm-hmm. Joe Burrow.
Right.
Let's just start right there. If the Cincinnati Bengals, who score 1,000,000 points, have all these great weapons on offense that they paid a crap ton of money to, but can't stop a nosebleed, and Joe Burrow is starting to prove he's injury prone, is it possible that the Cincinnati Bengals wake up during the offseason and say, you know what? We could start over. We love this kid in the draft. Mm. The Jets have every pick in the world. We've got amazing weapons for this young quarterback, and also we can use part of that booty of draft capital we got to rebuild our defense. Is it possible that the Bengals become more open to trading Joe Burrow? I think I can paint the scenario where that happens.
The only way I see that happening is if the Cincinnati Bengals feel like Zach Taylor is the right coach to lead them now and way into the future. Because if you let him draft another quarterback with all of the assets that they have, skill position players, we talked about them yesterday, all those that trio of really good wide receivers, if you allow them to draft a new quarterback, you have to trust Zach to take him through to the end. So Zach Taylor is going to be there for another four or five years.
Probably so.
So if that's the case, then Joe Burrow is an interesting trading option for whoever would think to acquire him.
Especially, Cheek, because I think whenever Joe Burrow's name has been brought up, it's usually been presented as Joe Burrow will wake up and demand a trade. Mm. I'm actually presenting it in the opposite direction,
right,
where the Bengals say, hey, we're scoring 35 points a game without him. Joe Flacco's been producing. He's 29 years old, and he's already had 8 injuries since he's entered the league. 8.
Is this that bad?
Oh, no, it's true. Would the Bengals say to themselves, he's a wonderful player, but he's injury prone, and if we could get a, you've heard this term before, a godfather-like offer where we can not only draft his replacement who's going to make a lot less money and then rebuild our defense with a booty of picks, I'm not saying they're going to do it, but the way I present it, you could at least admit, wow, that sort of makes sense.
Okay, so let me ask you then this question, because that side is interesting. The Cincinnati Bengals side, what their decision would be. If you're the Jets, do you want that?
Yes.
You want Joe Burrow, who's injury prone?
Yes.
Who could come here with, I'm not going to put the jinx on it, the Aaron Rodgers potential?
No, come
meaning,
on. He's 29.
I know that, but he's injury prone.
I agree. Yeah.
Come be our savior.
Yes.
Come take our program, our team to the next level, and then he gets hurt?
Yes.
And you're just left there holding your, you know what?
Like, yes.
That doesn't make any sense.
Would you rather take the risk of a 29-year-old who has shown us when he's on the field, he has the it factor.
Yes.
He is the exact personality and the kind of guy that can change everything about the New York Jets. Would I take that risk as opposed to drafting one who could be great, may not be great? Yeah, I would absolutely cash it in for Joe Burrow. To me, it's easy.
Yeah.
I get the risk. Like, I'm being fair in laying out why the Bengals could wake up one day and make that decision, and those are the same things the Jets would have to think about. But yes. And the Jets are equipped to do that because they have 3 first-round picks in 2027 and 2 first-round picks in 2026. But that's just one name. I've got others.
Yeah.
Now, I think Joe Burrow is the most appealing one. So I mention him first because he's the headline. I think he's the guy that most Jet fans listening right now would say, absolutely. He's 29 years old. He's got that big balls personality.
Right.
Unload the draft picks. Bring him in.
He's just been hurt a lot, but the positive is his base salary is not that high. It's very low, actually.
He also led the Cincinnati Bengals to the Super Bowl. Like that. That's enough. Stop the count.
Right. What era is it? Is it the 80s still?
No.
90s?
So
Chris Collinsworth on that team? What's going on here?
I know that Colin Cowherd had mentioned it a year ago or two. Hey, I could see Joe Burrow demanding a trade. I don't present it in that regard. I present it in the Bengals waking up one day, especially after a season in which they're scoring plenty of points, but they're 32nd in defense, and they've paid a lot of money to huge skill position players, and Joe Burrow's hurt again, where they say, you know what? Let's see what we could get for this guy, especially if, let's say they love Fernando Mendoza, and the Jets are able to offer them a top pick. Like, I think that's a scenario that could happen. I'll never forget many years ago, the Rams and the Steelers talked about a Ben Roethlisberger trade for the number one overall pick that would have been Sam Bradford. I think if you have the keys to the future quarterback, it opens up the possibility that a team would say, you know what, we get to reset the clock on the finances, we get a young quarterback, and oh, by the way, we get more picks along with it.
I just think about the New York Jets. From the New York Jets' perspective, wouldn't you rather take your shot at getting a young player? I know why you want to get the veteran, because when you have your veteran quarterback, the established QB who has leadership, who has the ability to affect and change games and win games, really with just his arm and his acumen, it's enticing. But it feels artificial. You know, it doesn't necessarily feel like
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Is it sustainable? Now, with that being said, this is exactly what happened with Kerry Collins.
I was about to say his name. Letting you finish, but yes.
When the Giants, yeah. I don't know if they were drafting quarterbacks, whatever. They had a bunch of quarterbacks who just didn't work out.
Dave Brown,
Danny Cannell, Kent Graham, et cetera, et cetera. You know the names. And then we acquired Kent Graham.
Kerry Collins. Yep.
And almost immediately, it felt exactly what you're describing. We had good talent. We needed to accent it a little bit more. We had a good offensive line. It was aging. We needed to turn that over a little bit. But immediately, we got good and went to a Super Bowl. And if the whole Eli thing wouldn't have happened, who knows what Kerry Collins' career would have been here.
Right.
It could have been here for another 5 or 6 years. But it worked with the Giants. So interestingly, even though I'm pushing back on you, I've seen this work.
Yeah, I think it takes a special guy. So I have a list of other veteran quarterbacks that I can create a scenario where they become available. Mm-hmm. This is the one that would appeal to me the most. This is the one. He's still in his prime. He's relatively young, especially for the position he plays. He's already done it by leading the Bengals to a Super Bowl. He would be the guy, no questions asked, when you asked me, would you trade a bunch of first-round picks for him? Yes.
Right.
Now, I'll give you a few others. Dak Prescott. Like, can I see a scenario where a year from now, Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys say, we got to start over? Absolutely. I hesitate on that because I don't think Dak Prescott is necessarily that answer. I don't think he's that guy. And to give up a surplus of first-round picks and have to pay that kind of money, that's not as appealing to me.
Right.
Can I give you another name?
Go ahead.
Kyler Murray is clearly going to be available.
That one's interesting.
Do you bring in Kyler Murray? It's not even going to cost you a booty of first-round picks, but now you can use your first-round picks on everything but the quarterback, and you've got a young quarterback to build around.
But do you trust Kyler Murray? That's the big question. I think both the only reason these two guys that you've now mentioned are available is because there are question marks surrounding them. Obviously, Joe Burrow, it's health. Kyler Murray, it's somewhat health, but not really. It's more, is he that kind of leader that's going to pick up a young franchise and put him on its back and say, let's go. I know how to get us to the promised land. And that's a question mark that we don't know until you see it. So Kyler is interesting because in person, I really like the guy. But there's just something inconsistent about him that worries me a little bit.
He's also the kind of guy that I think just needs another franchise, another team to kind of... The appealing part of Kyler Murray, by the way, is that I'm not going to have to give up the Godfather package.
Yeah.
So I'd be able to bring in the quarterback, answer that question, and still have my booty of picks to add another top wide receiver, to add an edge pass rusher, to replace Sauce Gardner, even though they think they internally have it with AZ Thomas. So that's the appeal of him. I'll give you two really out-of-the-box ideas.
Yeah.
And when I say their names, your eyes are going to roll and say they're not available. But you got to get creative. You got to think about how things could look a year from now.
Let me see.
C.J. Stroud. If the Houston Texans you got to make a decision, Teak, on paying guys. And the appeal of drafting a quarterback. I've heard this over the last 24 hours. Well, the appeal is, you're not going to pay a quarterback. I've heard you say that, Sean, about Jackson Dart. You're not going to pay a quarterback.
Right. You got four more years before you have to really pay him.
So if a team is offering you a cavalcade of picks or a pick specifically aligned with a young quarterback that you like in this draft, does it not make sense to say, wow, I can start the clock over, get a young quarterback that I also love, and move on? So if the Texans underachieve, could CJ... I'll give you another one. Oh, boy, Al Cintron better not be listening. Jaden Daniels, he's already starting to get beat up a little bit. He's already starting to have some injuries. You're already starting to hear Commander fans whisper RG3.
Right. Well, that's because RG3 is starting to say things about protecting the young quarterback.
Maybe.
Because of what they did, not him, but not this staff, or not even really. It's a completely different organization because the owner's different and everything else, but it feels very similar. Let the young kid run, be an athlete, be reckless in moments, and now look at him.
Absolutely.
Now, jacked up knee, hamstring, whatever the heck it was, and now he's got a dislocated elbow, thankfully non-throwing arm, but it feels very similar.
And I'll give you the big one. I saved the big one for end. Because Joe Burrow has been out there. I'm not splitting any atoms by saying him. Here's the other one. Because if you're going to trade a young franchise quarterback for a bevy of draft picks, you need to have a decider who's got guts, a decider who can do it, look you straight in the eye and say, here's why I'm doing it. Justin Herbert. With Jim Harbaugh.
No chance.
How much do they underachieve after year?
Yeah, but there's no chance that happens.
No way?
No chance. I think Jim Harbaugh is in love and infatuated with Justin Herbert.
Will he be in love and infatuated if the Los Angeles Chargers of San Diego underachieve again? If, let's say, right now they're 6-3, all is right with the world. What if they miss the playoffs? What if all of a sudden Jim Harbaugh is faced with the opportunity to recoup everything? Meanwhile, what has Justin Herbert won? He's getting older. They've never gotten out of the first round. They've made the playoffs twice with him as quarterback.
Yeah.
Here's the thing I want you to understand before you get, because Sean's about to yell at me.
No, I actually think I have a much better one, but go ahead.
Go ahead. Let me just say this. A part of what I was thinking about last night and this morning is that these are the new opportunities that have been created. Mm. Now, I acknowledge that a lot of the names I mentioned may never get moved. But the beauty of sports is that sometimes star players become available when you least expect it. We always usually wait for that in the NBA.
Yeah.
And the way to be ready to get those star players is by having the equipment to acquire them. That's draft capital. Mm-hmm. What the New York Jets did yesterday, as much as it disappointed me in the moment, is they are more equipped than any team in the sport to acquire a guy who we don't yet think about being available. So is it likelier than not that Darren Mooji dives headfirst into the draft in 2026 to find his quarterback? Of course. Or even 2027? Of course. But if any of the names I just mentioned became available, the New York Jets are at the top of the list. And I didn't even include one other name, but I don't want to say it in case that's Sean's idea, because I wouldn't want to steal it from him. So I've named a bunch of young in their prime quarterbacks that can somehow become available. Who have I missed?
Jalen Hurts.
I knew you were going to say it.
Now here, can I make my case?
Why?
Okay. Before anybody yells.
Why would Philly do that?
Great question. And before anybody yells and screams, I will rattle off every point why, and then you could kill the whole point.
All right, go ahead.
All right. Clearly, we know the positive. Super Bowl winning quarterback, team loves him, everything. Let's start with Howie Roseman. Howie Roseman is a genius as far as getting out of guys before it's too late, keeping the train moving. They have a young quarterback in Tanner McKee that they refuse to move this offseason that they seem to look a lot.
Yeah.
There is a rule in place in football that benefits Jalen Hurts that we know is not going to exist in football next year, and he has taken a beating on that. And this is an up-and-down passing game where we can't tell what receivers are happy every other week. If this team that's already won a Super Bowl falls short this year with all the money that they've pushed down the line, including with Jalen Hurts, could they look to get out, get one of these Jets first-round picks, and believe in Tanner McKee enough to keep the good times rolling in Philadelphia?
Mm. So it's only interesting because of you referenced the Tanner McKee.
That's why. They have
like Tanner McKee. Not as much as I like Joe Milton.
What happened to Joe Milton?
He's kind of like lost now.
He's lost at sea.
You're right. But Tanner McKee was really good. He played in one game last year.
Yep.
It was against the Giants, a game I called.
So, Sean,
and he was really damn good.
This isn't Tanner McKee related, but it's funny that you mentioned Jalen Hurts. I remember every piece of audio I cut. And one of the clips I cut less than a month ago after you guys beat the Philadelphia Eagles was this cut from Joe Giglio on WIP in Philadelphia. Take a listen.
If Jalen Hurts plays this way the rest of the season, they're drafting a quarterback. There's just no doubt in my mind.
So he's already down enough to say, if we're drafting a quarterback, we can give you a first-round pick.
But
there you go.
There's no way they're drafting a quarterback.
What was that?
Tanner McKee is he's not a first-round quarterback, but he is a very good quarterback.
No, you know what the Eagles do, Tiki? In a situation like that, again, this is totally hypothetical. They elevate Tanner McKee, who they like a lot, and then what the Eagles do, because they play chess above everything else, they go to their third-round pick, and they take a guy who's out for the year and out of eligibility in Drew Allar and draft him and rehab him for 2 years. And if McKee doesn't work out, that's their quarterback. That's how the Philadelphia Eagles run an organization.
No, you're probably right.
And here's the reality.
He's going to be a good quarterback if he gets healthy and he's right and he lands in the correct spot. If Philly would be a correct spot for him because he doesn't have to play.
And here's the truth about all of this. None of the quarterbacks we just mentioned over the last 20 minutes are actually available today. Hmm. But they could be available in February.
Well, they are when you have six first-round draft picks in the next 3 years.
That is the point, ladies and gentlemen. The Jets are equipped to do something like this. Does it mean they should? Does it mean they will? Yeah. Does it mean all of these guys or some of these guys are going to be available? Or are we even missing somebody? Are we actually being naive to maybe there's someone else we're not even talking about that becomes available? Like Andy Reid says, I'm done with Patrick Mahomes. I'm just kidding. But that's the new world that we live in. The Jets are equipped to do that. If a star quarterback mysteriously becomes available, whether it's them demanding a trade, whether it's the franchise realizing they need a reset button, the New York Jets are now ahead of the line. And so we are living in a brand new world. Is it still depressing that the Jets will likely win maybe one or two more games the rest of the season? Is it depressing that they drafted smartly years ago in drafting Sauce Gardner and Quinnen Williams and then for the betterment of the organization needed to trade them before they ever won a damn thing? Yes, it's sad. But this has created a brand new opportunity for Darren Mooji. We'll get to your calls next at 888-808-1019.
We'll hear from Aaron Glenn in the next 15 minutes, one of the most egregious flip-flops you'll ever hear. But before we get to your calls on the Jets potentially using their newly acquired draft pick capital to acquire a veteran quarterback, I've read some baseball news that deeply concerns me. And maybe Tiki, as the rational one, can say it's no big deal, Evan, calm down. Maybe even Tommy could say no biggie. Jeremy Hefner and Anton Richardson, two coaches. Jeremy was fired, removed as Met pitching coach. Anton Richardson left on his own. He was the brains behind Juan Soto stealing a million bases.
Yeah.
They have both decided to join the newly created Walt Weiss coaching staff with the Atlanta Braves. Oh. And that bothers me.
Okay, that should bother you.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah. I wanted to say, no, that's no big deal. It's all good. That's easy. Yeah, whatever. They're not good anyways. That's why they're not here. That should bother you.
That pisses me off.
It should piss you off.
And, like, in Hefner's case, they fired him. I think most people understood that that was going to happen after the performance of the Met pitching, even though a lot of that is on the pitchers that were acquired by the team president, David Stearns. Mm-hmm. But Anton Richardson is a guy we all wanted back because he was the brains behind the Mets being incredibly good at stealing bases. And my understanding is that Anton Richardson no longer wanted to return. That the reason he left, because he was offered a chance to stay, was that he saw all the coaches around him getting fired, and he was like, I don't want to be here.
Right. The writing's on the wall. At some point, that's going to be me.
Yes, because you're going to remain on a coaching staff that's completely new, and the manager's going to be on the hot seat. So I admit that my irrationality is I'm not sure what the Mets could have done different, because they wanted to move on from Hefner. I understand it. Anton Richardson is the one who made the decision to leave. But it sucks to see these guys in Atlanta. Can you give me a no biggie, Tommy? It'll make me feel better.
Actually, I don't. Hefner is a no biggie. Richardson's not a no biggie. And I disagree with you. Why?
Uh-oh.
Why?
Oh, whoa, wait, hold on. Positive Tommy died today.
What happened?
Well, it's the Braves. It has nothing to do with the Mets. It's the Braves bringing
it.
No,
he's right. It's where it is.
When Acuna's stealing, 400 bases on the Mets next year, it's hard to throw a no biggie out there. But you just said, first of all, I disagree that Mendy's on the hot seat, but couldn't Richardson survive even if Mendy got fired? Like, if you're good at your job and you're valuable to an organization and they give you a pay raise and a contract, isn't that enough security to stick with the Mets?
No, I mean, it makes a lot of sense. But again, I'm telling you, I've heard he didn't want to stay.
But the reason he doesn't want to stay is because other coaches got fired, but they kept him because they want him back, the Mets, because they like the job he did.
Oh, absolutely.
Shouldn't that be enough security to keep your job?
I mean, you got to talk to Anton about it, but I think that you look around and you do see a job that isn't safe. I mean, you have a manager that you could say is not on the hot seat, but he is. They just got rid of all the coaches.
But if Richardson does a good job, wouldn't it be prudent on the Mets to want to keep him?
I think they did want to keep him.
If they got rid of Mendy. I'm mad at the Braves because I think this is a jerk troll move by them. Let's be honest. Especially Hefner. I mean, Richardson, I can understand that, but they couldn't wait to bring in Jeremy Hefner after the Mets got rid of him.
I mean, Hefner did do a good job
at times. But in his most recent stretch here at the back end of the season, not so much.
I'm confused by you. Are you mad at the Mets?
Excuse me. I had to take a sip of Coke there like Mike. I'm mad at the Braves.
So you're not mad at the Mets?
I'm not mad at the Mets.
And you're not mad at Anton Richardson?
I'm a little mad at Ed Richardson, quite frankly, because I don't understand like why you didn't want to stay with us and then you wanted to skip to Atlanta. I don't know. I don't appreciate that.
Boy,
I think he wanted maybe a change of scenery is the wrong phrasing of it, but I think he wanted some security. It just feels like if things don't work out in New York real quickly for whoever is coaching, it's going to
it's going to go quick.
1,000%. And remember, the Braves are starting anew. Walt Weiss was just named manager. He was promoted. And so he's building a new coaching staff. So there just is more security going to Atlanta than staying with the Mets, where, again, they got rid of every single coach. And Carlos Mendoza is here, but he's not the safest. Walt Weiss just got he's the new manager. He's safer than Carlos Mendoza is.
I mean, Mendy's in year three, in the first year they're in the NLCS. We're looking to fire the manager.
They fired all their coaches.
I understand that because they needed to, because of the season they had.
Okay.
I think if they had made the playoffs, I think a lot of those coaches would have been safe.
I think it depends on where they went, but I'll make this simple for you because I don't know who you're arguing with. I don't know if you're mad at me, the Mets, Anton Richardson, or just simply the Braves. If the Mets are 50-55, Carlos Mendoza is going to be fired. He's not going to survive a season if the Mets are underachieving. And how do I know that? I'm not going to lie to you. No one is telling me this. I'm using my noodle because I see what they just did, and I see the handwriting's on the wall. It was like Willie Randolph in a lot of ways in 2008. So I think for Richardson, he knew this is not the safest place to be working right now. So I don't even know who I'm mad at. Because I agree with the Mets needing to clean house. Yeah. I'm just more frustrated with the situation that they both happen to end up in Atlanta.
Well, I also think that it's you can't believe if you are anybody with around the Mets that Carlos Mendoza is safe going into the next year. You just can't believe
it. Well, he does.
I know, but how it started to trickle out this year.
I know.
It started to become not a story, but just a... Keep an eye on this. This is a historic collapse. So if that happens again in any capacity, he's gone.
Yeah, if they get off to a bad start, I think he's gone.
Right.
Too.
And so if you're on his staff, that's not job security. That's not preparing you for the next 5 years of your professional career. Yeah, you almost have to do it for self-preservation.
Yeah, you would. I know you never coach, but as a former player, if you were coaching, and let's do it with a team you have no affiliation with, it's not the Giants where there's loyalty, but if you're a coach on the Broncos staff, and they just got rid of every other coach but you and the head coach, and now the Chiefs comes calling and say, we'd love to have you, there's a really good chance you're going to leave.
I know. Right. I think I'll go with the Chiefs.
Yeah. let's get to your calls. More on the baseball later because we will unveil our offseason plans for both teams. Free agency does begin in Major League Baseball tomorrow at 5 o'clock. 888-808-1019. Rich is in Brick, New Jersey. What's up, Rich?
Hey, guys. How are you doing today?
All's good.
Good. What's on your mind?
All right. What's on my mind is this Joe Burrows thing that you put out. Now, I know that this is hypothetical, but allow me to give you my perspective on it.
Go.
You remember Jacob deGrom, right?
What a question. Yeah, I kind of remember him.
Who was that?
Yeah. Well, what I'm saying is that Joe Burrows is the NFL equivalent of Jacob deGrom. Always injured. Good player, but always injured.
Mm. Well, now, you're part right, though, okay? Because I think you're doing a disservice to Joe and to Jake by saying good player. Those guys are great players.
Okay. No problem. But here's one that may cost a little less, but you never know. And you already have a trade history with him that no one mentioned and I'm surprised about.
Go.
Dak.
No, I mentioned Dak. We mentioned Dak Prescott. That was the second name I brought up. I'm not as drawn in by him because to mirror something Tiki has said and many Cowboy fans have said, I don't think he's it. Like, I think he's a good quarterback. I think he's a solid guy to have your team built around. But he's not the franchise-altering guy the way I think Joe Burrow is. And in the case of Joe Burrow and comparing him to Jacob deGrom, look, he's been in the NFL for 6 years. And I would admit that in three of those 6 years, he has missed a chunk of time, which includes this year. But when he's played, he's been one of the best. And he's led a Bengal team to a Super Bowl. He went to Kansas City and beat the Chiefs.
And that was coming off a season before where he was injured, correct?
Right. So I'm not going to argue that he is not becoming injury prone. What I would argue is it's worth it. Mm. When a guy is that great, because you say good player, he's not a good player. He's a great player. I'm willing to take that risk. And so, is he injury prone? Yeah, I think that's a part of why the Cincinnati Bengals could very well have that conversation.
Yeah, and I think different, just to go back to Dak. Dak is really good. Like, really, really good. MVP quality 2 seasons ago. Not the one last year, the one before. And
you want to believe that he's all, like, going to take that next step and become one of the top five quarterbacks in the NFL. It just never happens. And he's getting older. He's 32 now, maybe 33.
Yep.
It just feels like there's always something preventing him from taking the next step. And maybe that's just his draft grit. I always talk about you can't escape your draft position. I mean, Tom Brady did, but there's not a lot of examples of it. It's almost like he keeps hitting a ceiling, even though he really wants to break through it. And the Cowboys really want him to break through it. And they give him all these assets and athletes around him, but he just can't break through it. So he's good, but again, it's a trust thing.
Mm.
With Joe Burrow, it's trust. I don't trust you to stay healthy. With Dak Prescott, it's I don't trust you to make the play in the moment.
Mm-hmm. That's a big one.
Yeah.
Rick is in Queens. Hey, Rick.
Hey, guys. Tiki, to start with, my cousin just got position at the Hyatt in Canton, Ohio. I mean, he's manager.
Oh, nice.
So when you get your gold jacket, I got my room already set. You got to promise me I get to take a picture with you
without a doubt.
That jacket.
Without a doubt.
Okay. Just wanted to cover that. Now moving forward, the both of you threw me under the bus 3 weeks ago when I said Sauce wasn't all that, and he is going to be gone before the end of this season.
This is facts.
Okay? But Tiki, you guys are my guys now, okay? Don't get me wrong. But when I said he's going to be gone, you guys pulled out stats and how he's rated in the league and the whole thing.
Rick.
And you guys threw me under the bus.
Well, Rick, let me ask you a question. I'm a serious question because I believe in this. These guys know this. I believe in accountability.
Okay. And I apologize. I'm sorry, Rick.
Do you
remember? Right.
You were right.
Do you remember the date that you made this call?
Oh, God. No. I don't remember the exact date, but let me tell you,
Rick.
It was more like 3 weeks ago at least.
Rick,
it's
Loogie. What if I told you I know the exact date, but when I get in the Radio Hall of Fame, you got to show up and I'll give you a picture with you. It was October 14th at 4:23 p.m. Just off the top of my head, I just
Loogie, you are my man. As a matter of fact, when I go down for Tiki's jacket, I'm making sure I get you a room next to me with my cousin. You're hooked up.
Wow. Okay? Well, Rick, here's what we're going to do for you. Because I do believe, as you hear throughout this show, if you listen to Evan and Tiki,
we hold ourselves accountable.
We play audio and hold ourselves accountable. In fact, Tommy says something. In fact, later in the show, there's something Tommy said a few weeks ago that I wanted to replay and have a new conversation about. There are things I've said, Tiki has said. And so as a caller, I got to be honest, I don't remember that phone call. But since we have a date.
You don't remember it?
I don't.
I do remember it.
Well, would you?
I remember digging into Sauce Gardner and saying, like, these are his stats. Yes, he doesn't have interceptions, but it's because of whatever. He's there in the moments, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. I remember saying, Rick, you don't know what you're talking about.
Well, let's hear Rick's phone call and find out how accurate his description was of what he said to us. We have it ready?
We are pulling it right now.
Oh, we're pulling it now. Okay. When we have it ready, we'll take a listen because we're all request radio. If you can remember, and I don't know, Tommy, how did you pull that out of your derriere?
Well, a magician never gives away his secrets, okay. Evan. I don't tell you how the woman.
He's a generational talent.
Thank you, Tiki.
He didn't even hesitate. He's like, October 14th, 4:23 p.m. So we'll take a listen to what Rick said because I have a feeling, Rick, you may be over-exaggerating what you said.
Mm.
You may have said the Jets should trade Sauce Gardner. Did you say the Jets will trade Sauce Gardner? And what did Tiki and I say back? We will hear that in the next 5 minutes, I promise. Let's go to Dave in Lindenhurst. What's up, Dave?
Hey, what's going on? What's going on, Evan Teague?
What's up,
man? Rest of the company.
What's up?
I got a trade for you.
Yes.
How about the Mets call up Sacra Vegas Athletics? See if they can get the rights for Kyler Murray because I don't want him anywhere near my Jets.
you swerved me right there.
I know. I was like, wait, where's he going with this?
The Mets are, that's right. Kyler Murray was drafted to play baseball. Yeah, I'm not as intrigued by Kyler Murray. My intrigue level to Kyler would be if I can get him cheap. Because what that allows you to do, especially if you believe in him, mm-hmm. is to use all that draft capital on everything else. And if you have your quarterback without having to use a first-round pick, or dare I say multiple first-round picks because you're trading up, then you got a great chance to build your roster
right.
around that. So I'd only be interested if it was cheap, but I got to tell you, unlike Joe Burrow, I don't think Kyler Murray's that guy. And what the Jets need is that guy. And it's a very tough quality to find. It's something they haven't had since Joe Namath. It's something Giant fans are hoping they have in Jackson Dart. But they need that special quality. And I think Kyle Murray is a wonderful
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Alan, but I don't know if he's that.
Yeah, I don't think he is.
Let's go to Jason in Somerset. What's up, Jason?
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
All's good.
Good. What's up?
So I got a name to throw out to you that I think is that guy, but he might not be available till 2027. Baker.
Yeah. Baker Mayfield is very, very intriguing. I think the problem is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are now married, and they have no reason. Like, I came up with fictitious reasons.
Well, he's got – there's an out. Like, he could be available relatively soon.
He can, but they won't let him go.
There's no chance that's happening.
That's the thing.
They love him, and he's the perfect buck.
No, he absolutely is. Like, with everyone else, I came up with reasons why that team would want to move on. Because here's the thing about the NFL. The team has to agree to it. Like, you never truly get free agency in the National Football League, even as a quarterback, because they can always tag you.
Right.
So even if you somehow get to free agency, which doesn't even happen that often, you really aren't a free agent. So the circumstances you need to find is where the team thinks it makes sense. And I thought about Baker Mayfield because I do agree with our last caller. Baker has proven to have that special quality. I just don't see a scenario where the Tampa Bay Buccaneers would want to move off of him.
Yeah, I don't see it either. I think they have a ton of faith in him, one, as a player, which you see because of their record, but also just like as a leader, as a dude that's going to put you on his back and say, let's go, and then ultimately find a way to make those players around him better. That's what Baker Mayfield's biggest strength is, and he's had a very circuitous journey.
Right.
But a lot of it's because of bad decisions by the organizations he was at.
Well, and that's the scary part. Are the Jets no longer that bad organization?
Yeah.
Like, we don't know yet. I mean, is Darren Mooji off to a good start? Absolutely. His first draft looks solid. And even some of the decisions he's made, the smaller ones, like bringing in Brownlee, that looks like a really smart under-the-radar deal. Certainly the value he got back for these players, it looks good. But is he that guy? Now, let me get Darren Glenn for a second. Because last night, I was watching all the speeches. We had some political victories in New Jersey, New York, and all around the country.
Yeah, there was some ass-whooping going on.
There was some ass-whoopings going on. And it reminded me how much I hate politicians. Because sometimes, first of all, I think when you win an election, you should always try to bring everyone together. I don't think enough politicians do that.
No.
But the thing that really pisses me off is the flip-flopping. When they try to recreate that they didn't actually say that. And I want to present to you Aaron Glenn. Earlier today, Aaron Glenn met the media. And he said all the right things about the trades. It was an opportunity that came along. We were listening, blah, 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 blah. But Aaron Glenn was asked a very pointed question by Rich Cimini. He said, Aaron, what do you say to the Jet fans? What do you say to the Jet fans who had their season tickets raised? What do you say to the Jet fans who know, hey, the team got worse? What do you say to them? And I want you to listen to Aaron Glenn's answer because he actually invoked something he had said earlier in this process about Jet fans being proud. Remember that whole thing?
Yes. Success. How do you clarify or quantify a successful season?
That is correct.
I want Jet fans to be proud.
So before we hear what he said months ago, let's hear what he said today when he was asked point blank, what do you tell Jet fans after the moves of yesterday?
Nothing different than I've been saying. Listen, I want this to be a team that the fans are proud of. But again, I never said that we're going to be proud of them right now. At some point, I want this to be a team that that the fans are proud of. And I still stick with that. You know, and I will still say that. This is a team that the fans will be proud of. And I'm not going to get into the patience and all that type of crap that you always hear. But I will tell you this. Our guys are working. We're going to continue to work. And again, I'm going to stand by that statement. I want this to be a team that the fans are proud of. So don't let go of the rope. You've heard me say that before. And just continue to watch us work.
So the thing that really jumped out at me is I never said this year.
Yeah.
Excuse me?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, well, it was what the premise was.
The premise, in fact, you know what? Let's not even say a word, Tiki. We don't need to criticize Aaron Glenn. Let's hear Aaron Glenn's own answer in early September when he was asked point blank, what's a successful season for this year's New York Jets?
What to you would define a successful season?
What would define a successful season? I want to be a team to where the fans will look up and say, we're proud of that team. And if they say that, I'll be happy. I'll be happy because within that, I know that wins will come.
Aaron, if this was Meet the Press back in the day and I was the late, great Tim Russert, I'd play that for you and I'd say, Coach, you did specify this year. The question was this year. This guy has the balls to say, I never said that.
Well, here's what he's doing. He's kicking success down the line because he knows it's not achievable this year.
Right.
And so he's amending the expectation from this year to eventually. Now, let's hope that eventually is not 4 years from now. Hopefully eventually is end of this season, next season.
Tiki, that's fine. He on his own said,
I know.
I never said this year.
I can't defend him.
How do you say that?
I was trying to. You can't defend
it. You can't defend it.
Right.
See, people were upset at you and I that yesterday we laughed at the way Aaron Glenn had handled the media when it comes to the quarterback question, that it was almost a joke. And it was a joke. Stop being so sensitive. This pisses me off. Mm. This I'm going to be sensitive about because you're spitting in the air and telling me it's rain. Dude, we listen to what you say. We play the clips on the air. And so for everyone out there who didn't catch that, I want you to catch it. He said, I never said proud this year. We just played the clip. It was this year. The whole question was predicated on what makes this guy. I'm going to lose my mind. And it's so stupid. I admit it's so stupid. Because Aaron Glenn can so easily say, hey, things change, man. We gave it a try.
Right.
We didn't win games. This opportunity came along. I want you to be proud about something different. And that is, we have a plan. You could spin this so many different ways. And instead, he pulled a Francesa.
Yeah.
I never said that.
That's not what I meant.
You did say it. You couldn't have been more clear that you said it. So that kind of annoyed me.
Right.
I'm not going to lie. That's the one that really pisses me off.
If they win another game, you'll get over it because you'll start feeling proud of them.
I don't know. I don't know what would make me. Yeah, you're probably right. I want wins.
I know that's right.
They're so loaded with draft picks. It's like, yeah, they'll get their quarterback anyway. I want wins. Marvin's in Patchogue. What's up, Marvin?
Hey, what's up, J-E-T-S, Jets, man. I am so proud of these guys. They have been true since the beginning. Let me give you a timeline. They want winners. They want to know who's on board.
Yeah.
They started with Aaron Rodgers. He wasn't on board. Started with the interview. You come into an interview, you show you want to be on board. Aaron brought his ego. So they got rid of him in the circus. Then they said, as far as the timeline, what you just pointed out, they got rid of the punt returner. The players weren't listening. I couldn't recall his name. Aaron Glenn was not speaking to us as the fans, to the media. He was speaking to the players. Earn your spot on this roster. Earn your spot. They wasn't listening. He reminds me of Mike Singletary. I can't win with him.
But well, I don't want that comparison. He was a terrible head coach. I was with you until you said he reminds me of Mike Singletary.
Yeah.
I mean, no, I don't want that. By the way, Rick called up earlier this segment. You could rewind it if you're just tuning in. And he said, hey, you guys laughed at me when I said the Jets are going to trade Sauce Gardner. And we immediately, because of Tommy Lugauer's brain and Sean Morash's editing ability, we're able to go back and find that call. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's go back a little less than a month ago. Here is Rick's phone call to Evan and Tiki where he claims he said Sauce Gardner will be traded. Let's go to Rick in Queens. What's up, Rick?
But you have to please tell me why Sauce Gardner is not no case you won't trade him. He pass interferes. He can't tackle anybody, okay? He's at some point in time during the game, he's always going to take a little shot. He's going to get hurt. He's going to be on the sideline. So tell me. Tell me, why is he untouchable?
Well, first of all, nobody's untouchable. Mm-hmm. Oh, I made that very clear in our last segment where I would be open to anything. Yeah. I would just need to have it be grossly overpayment to trade them. Now, as far as why I would need an overpayment for Sauce Gardner, tell me when I'm telling lies, anything I'm about to say. If you rank all the cornerbacks in the NFL, is Sauce Gardner top five, top 10?
Probably.
I think so.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, that doesn't mean he's number one.
I was just trying to think of the guys that are above him. And there's just not a ton of
guys. There's not a ton of guys.
Right.
So he is, as much as he's not Darrelle mm-hmm. Revis, and as much as he's not perfect, and as much as there is that one or two plays per game that may stick out at you and bother you, he is still one of the better cornerbacks in this league, despite us all saying horrible things about him. That's tough to replace.
Mm-hmm.
That's tough to replace. If you trade him for lottery tickets, and that's what draft picks are, you're probably going to use a top pick on a cornerback. And if that cornerback turns into Sauce Gardner, you know right. what you're going to say? We hit. Like, literally.
Yeah, I know.
So that's why I'm not gung-ho about, I'll trade him. Give me a second-round pick. Let's call it a day. Like, what are you turning that into?
Right.
I feel very good about my answer, by the way.
That was a pretty good answer.
I think we both went out of this thing. Yes, he made a great point about why don't you trade him, but my retort is consistent. I said, no one's off limits. I got to get blown away. They got blown away. They got two first-round picks. So I give Rick some love, but honestly, the more I hear that, I want to give myself love because I think my answer was spot on.
Just remember, I could have omitted your response, but I felt it was very important.
Thank you, Sean.
Your response was good.
Thank you. Thank you.
It wasn't fully dismissive of Rick.
It wasn't at all, actually. He's wrong about that. We didn't dismiss him.
I think we went on further and talked about how so many people keep calling about Sauce and saying that he's not a good player. And he's a good player. He's just not, he's not impactful. He's not turning the football over. You don't see him making devastating hits. He's too lanky to be that kind of defensive back. He doesn't intercept the ball. He's got three in his career. So what is he? He's good, but what is he?
He's not what we thought he would be.
Yeah.
He's not Revis, and he's not a guy taken as high as he was selected. But I think what ended up happening, and this is where our last caller, I guess, could take his victory lap, but so can we never said no offhanded. Mm. We said, they got to get blown away. And boy, I'd love to go back in time and say, hey guys, the Jets are going to get two number ones for him. We would have hung up on that caller. We would have said, you're nuts. I love Sauce. I think Sauce is really good. They're not getting two number ones for him, and they did. And I think it's a game changer, which is why it was conflicting yesterday. Like, he's a good player. You are going to need to replace him, even if they think AZ Thomas can replace him right now, who looked good last week and is a rookie and is cheap. But they got so much back. It's kind of crazy. Anyhow, good job, Sean, and good job, Tommy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.